둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
What is, it's weird, like, because you're over here, there, but my camera's here. It's weird. I'm not sure what to, not sure to do with my hands. Yeah, it's awkward.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, you're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give this series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests drop by lately, including the cast of Shrinking. That's Jessica Williams, Krista Miller, Ted McGinley, Michael Urey. We talked with the Petula Clark and Don McLean, Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips, Catalina Sandino Marino and Sasha Calle. They starred in The Rip with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Stephen Knight, he created Peaky Blinders, joined Malachi Kirby to talk about A Thousand Blows on Disney Plus. Nico Case was here to discuss her latest record. Amy Mann, Joe Henry, Over the Rhine. Walker Scobell, he stars as Percy Jackson in the new Disney Plus series as well. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching back up with Maynard James Keenan, frontman of Tool, A Perfect Circle, and Pussifer, who returns with their fifth album, Normal Isn't. We'll be unpacking how the record functions as a kind of cultural status report, part political frustration, part tech anxiety, and part dark humor, which Maynard's always very good at. He's going to explain why the band feels like it's finally being discovered years after the fact, how this album leans harder, hits sharper than its predecessors, and why observation, not preaching, is the real job here. The conversation is also going to get into the creation of the new characters, Belindia Black, the expanding world of videos and graphic novels, the uneasy usefulness of AI, and why being the underdog still matters. And along the way, there's going to be talk of David Bowie, language as satire, and why Normal Isn't feels less like rebellion for rebellion's sake and more like an inevitable reckoning. All that's and more. Let's get into it and discuss Normal Isn't. It's Kyle Meredith with Maynard James Keenan.
Fantastic.
Let me congratulate you too. The new Pussifer record, Normal Isn't, is so good. And I really mean that. And I'm so happy that we get to talk about this, because I was thinking that the first time we talked, we were talking about like the website stuff, the videos, and the second time was with Les, so we were talking about a tour, so it's nice to actually get into an album this time around. And for Normal Isn't, is like, when I listen to you guys, it blows my mind every time. And I'm not trying to over compliment you at the beginning of this, but
you go on.
But I don't know, like, it seems to me like there's something bigger about the band right now. And I don't know if that's my perception or not, that maybe something changed on the last album, you know, as to how you all see it. Is that me, or is that something real?
Well, I think it's time, right? Because you got to remember, when we first came out in 2007, from the time that we started recording in 2005, 2006, until 2007, 90% of the record stores had to close. There was, when we started recording, there was still a Tower Records, a Virgin Records, all those big mega stores were still around. And by the time we actually released the record, they were closed, shuttered. So it's taken a long time for us to kind of get in front of people, because that's literally just how you would get in front of people, is just literally on the front shelf at the record store, and it's new, and here's the new section, and just that amount of traffic. So not having that pipeline to get it out, it's just taken a while. So I think there's a couple incidents in the last couple months where I post a song, or, you know, post a video or something, and it'll be a song, poster for song, and somebody will, oh my God, I love this new material. It's fucking great. It's like, that's actually from 15 years ago.
And just now finding it. Like, so it's not my perception, because that's how it looks out there. Like, people are finally finding it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. They're finally finding it. And they're like, no, this album is the game changer. It's like, and then, but you're complimenting a song that's been out for 10 years.
Which just goes on to say everything about, you know, with the five albums that you all have put out now. I mean, yeah. It is like, I'm hoping the rest of it, like, it's like, you've got two other great bands, sure, but there's something about this one. I'm trying not to compare it to other bands, but I feel like we should be talking about Pussifer in the same breath as like Radiohead or something like that, you know?
I don't know about Radiohead.
Well, I do. Let me, yeah.
Okay, you go ahead.
I will happily talk about it in that. But it also, there's also something about the albums. I don't know. Coming off that last one, I don't know if they just, this is your natural progression or whatever, but something about the last record and this one, it just sounds bigger. Maybe, I don't know if cohesive is the word that I'm looking for, but it sounds something akin to that, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. I think it might be a little bit more songs that have a little more bite to them, you know, because maybe the other albums only had a couple songs like that on them, rather than, and, you know, definitely Existential Reckoning was definitely cinematic, quite a bit of synth and landscape in it. But there were some ones that bit in that one too, but I think maybe that's what it is. Maybe this one just has a few more biters.
So why did that change? Like, can you attribute to that to anything?
I don't know. It's just, that's what came out. You know, we're definitely tuned into what's happening in the world, and, you know, you kind of write what you know and write what you see. And so I think maybe the frustration is coming out a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's in the album bio. You mentioned something. You said, our job is to observe, interpret, and report. Which, yeah, especially when you look at it through that lens, I mean, this is an extremely relevant status reports.
Yeah, but, you know, but not like a 1950s newscaster or an anchorman. We're reporting more like, you know, an interpretive breakdancing poet. You know, that's, we're there's things to be said, and they have to be said in a way that helps you look at things closer, look at things more deeply. What's your role in the life that you're just fumbling through? Like, to kind of tap in.
When you're writing like that, do you find that you try not to take a side? I mean, when we talk about true journalism or something like that,
I'm always going to side on. I'm going to be on the side of fuck fundamentalist extremists in any way.
Sure.
Left, right, center. I don't care if you're a person who doesn't understand humor and irony, and you mobilize and on people who disagree with you. Sorry, that will be always the side that I go on, is fundamentalist extremists can go fucking suck a bag of dicks. But and you can quote me on that.
I mean, to be fair, you do, again, you work in a word like bunghole in this. So, you know, the humor is there. And I don't know that anybody else could have pulled that off, by the way.
Bucket list.
Do you have more? Are there more words on the bucket list that you're still trying to work in?
No, we got them in there. We got twat. We got bunghole. We got drongo in there.
I learned about drongo because of that. I wasn't Australian, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bloody drongo. That's a good one. Appreciate that. I don't know if you're expanding my vocabulary, but it exists.
We're widening it.
And we'll be right back right after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. February has a funny way of making it seem like everyone else has their love life completely figured out. Whether it's couples, posts, engagement announcements, or just a general noise around relationships, I know it can feel like you're somehow behind. But the truth is, most of us are still figuring it out. Married, dating, single, or somewhere in between. Honestly, that includes me. Relationships are complicated, and they don't come with a rule book. Whether it's learning how to communicate better, letting go of old expectations, or just figuring out what actually feels right at this stage of life, it's a process. And therapy can help take some of that pressure off by helping you understand what feels heavy, what you want, and what might be getting in the way. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. You fill out a short questionnaire about your needs and preferences, and they do the matching work for you. With more than 12 years of experience, over 30,000 therapists, more than 6 million people served worldwide, they typically get it right the first time. And if they don't, you can switch to another therapist from their tailored recommendations. So sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Maynard James Keenan.
Let's, you know, but on that stuff, so we're talking about, you know, on that serious stuff. When I, you know, look at Impetuous, a song like that. I don't know if I'm reading it in the way that you're hoping, but I wrote some stuff down like the revolution is optional, participation is consensual, you know, not framed as rebellion for rebellion's sake, but as inevitability. I think that's what I was getting to right there.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, I feel like was just kind of in context what you said with this music, kind of bringing it into our little microcosm. Pussifer's definitely been marginalized and relegated to the third side project category. And people just don't really, I guess people just don't think like we do. And I've always been on the side of the underdog. That's just kind of how I'm wired. The marginalized underdog is always going to get my vote. So that song kind of leans into, it's okay to not think like everybody else. That's okay. Don't, you're an island. Great. If you feel like an island, then lean into it and just work with it. Don't think of it as a flaw.
Yeah, there's, and I'm thinking about that in the terms of rebellion, as we're talking about. I'm thinking about it just as in terms of not going along with everything, you know, not following the herd, I guess, not to get too cliche on something like that. But what's the line? The resolution train is long gone.
That's a normalism.
What's that? Yeah.
That's a normalism. Yeah.
Yeah. And I am jumping around, but I'm using kind of the context as the album as a fool because
I'm trying to catch stuff as you throw it.
I apologize. I should name the song as I'm talking about it, but and maybe the songs don't talk to each other. I hear the album like it's almost linear in the way I hear this record. You know.
Yeah, definitely. There's a through line for sure.
So that's what I think that might be the. Yeah, I don't mind saying the scariest line. The resolution train is long gone.
Yeah, you gotta. There's you're not gonna go back and get that weird uncle to untouch you. You know, I mean that's just don't. You're not gonna change that person. So just you have to fucking take whatever your mold is, and go with it.
So you still think there's a path forward though?
There's a path forward for you to figure out ways to work with things. But as far as like resolving anything in the past, you might want to just let that go. You're not going to change that. That's you enforcing your will on another person. You can't, that doesn't work. You might have your moments. There might be like a moment where a group of people can enforce their will on people that are being reasonable, but eventually that shit breaks down. It always does.
But that's not the mindset that I think a lot of our society is currently in. It is. It's sort of that, like, let's go back and let's, and I'm not talking about history. There's a good thing about learning history. You know, history yeah. repeating it, and all it, that. Stuff.
History is, you know, I come from a background of educators and coaches, and so that's definitely been undermined over the last few decades. And so if you don't if you're not armed with the tools to be able to determine what's bullshit and what's not, that's the fault of the education system. You know, if you have an ignorant society, they definitely believe that, you know, when the wizard or the holy man comes out and he goes, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to block out the sun. And it just happens to be an eclipse. And they go, well, if you know what a fucking eclipse is, you start flicking cigarettes at that guy.
Well, that's the very first line we hear on the record, which I would guess the way we're talking is very purposefully, because the record starts with instructions to ignore all the voices.
Yeah.
Like, how much weight does that line carry for the record?
It's definitely a linchpin for understanding, determining which voices to listen to. Don't ignore all of them. I do say ignore all the voices, but not, you know, the reasonable ones, don't ignore those.
It's just, you're putting a lot of faith in people to understand who the reasonable
ones
are.
The voices I'm usually talking about is this fucking thing.
Oh, right.
Very useful to find, you know, when I'm trying to find that location or that vineyard somewhere that I haven't been to before, or, you know, or send a message to my wife that I'm picking up my daughter. This is useful. This is a very useful thing. But for it to completely twist your soul into marginalizing and dehumanizing other human beings, then that's a problem.
I mean, that's also part of the AI conversation, right? Like, how do you hate something and find it useful at the same time?
Yeah, that's good. It's going to end great. Well, all we can really do is hope that the timeline resolves itself and that Sarah Connor actually makes it to full term and has John Connor, our savior, to deal with Skynet.
Yeah, we just, my son watched that for the first time the other day.
He's like, this is today.
It is interesting the conversations we get to have out of it. I'm also realizing I've got garbage over my shoulder and Shirley played a Terminator. It's nice little 1-2 right there. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Maynard James Keenan. We're talking about the AI, and there is a moment because I was watching the music videos and Pendulum. It looks like a de-aged version of you. And that's what I was wondering. Is this one of those cases where you're using that? I don't know if you were using that. I mean, that could be.
Yeah, something. We used, let's just go back through my history, though. I've used of all the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of film and animation and CGI that we've done over the decades, we literally used 30 seconds of AI and got fucking crucified for it.
Did you?
Yeah. And all it was me taking my old friend Cheryl and morphing her into Karina, my friend Cheryl, and an old photo of me morphing it into older me or Belendia. That's what we used it for. That's it. So it wasn't like we stole identities offline and whatever. And, you know, we're burning down forests to fucking do 30 seconds of animation. Fuck off. If you use Google today on your phone, you're using AI. So get in your lane.
I mean, we are in that moment. I've talked about that here personally too. It's like, we are in that moment. I work at a radio station. It's a public radio station. You know, we don't always have budgets for whatever might be needed.
Right.
You get something like that and like, oh, that can be useful today.
Today. Yes, absolutely.
But you do.
And it's going to balance itself out. It's not going to replace us. It's not going to burn down forests, or it will. And it will end. If it's going to end us, it's going to end us. Stop leaning into it too much. But, you know, also as far as like the being replaced, maybe it's going to replace us. I don't know. But they used to say that about drum machines. Fuck, now the drummers are all going to be out of jobs. Okay.
Still got drummers. You got some great drumming on this record, by the way. Side note.
Yeah, still, there's still painters out there. The Andrea Couch, who did the cover art for Normal isn't. Fantastic artist. Her body of work is unbelievable. Cameras and Photoshop didn't replace her. She's doing incredible work. And it's paint. It's not computer generated. And she's current and relevant.
They used to, as you kind of mentioned, they used to be mad at Photoshop. They used to be mad at fax machines, or I mean, copy machines. That's what I mean. You know, it has always been something. It's a cool video, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you mentioned Belindia. Like, how did you come up with this character, Belindia?
You know, there's so many. There's a whole backstory here that is eventually coming out, and we've released the first graphic novel introducing Belindia, and that's the video you see at the top of Pendulum. That's the live version of that. And then the graphic novel version has come out and sold out. We're actually going to have to do a second edition. But we're releasing the second one coming up. It's going to be more of the briefcase story involving Major Duche. And then the third one is going to be more of the story of the Synth Whisperer and the origin stories of Belindia and Fanny. So Belindia Black and Fanny Gray, that's Karina's character. And the Synth Whisperer is Matt Mitchell's character. So that third graphic novel, which won't be out for quite a while, I'm guessing, because I think you want to release those like a month apart somehow. It takes the graphic novel artist. He's fucking really great. But it's, you know, of course it takes him a while. So we'll release that one, which the third one, a third release and the fourth release are kind of a two-part that explain to you Belindia and Fanny and the Synth Whisperer.
Can't wait to figure that. Like,
yeah, I don't want to give away too much because I want you to have a little sense of discovery, but like, you know, the graphic novels are a great way to fill in the gaps, because for years Pussifer's had all these characters and their little film bits at the shows, but if you didn't see the show, you have no fucking idea what we're talking about. So the graphic novels are a great tool to help you catch up on some of these characters. So I went back and filmed and wrote scripts for Reverend Soke, Major Duche, Dick Merkin, Billy Dee, everybody. So we're going to go back in time and kind of do the graphic novel for each one to kind of reintroduce you to that character and then give you an entire graphic novel of a story involving them.
With the stories, like we were talking about how this, that first dinner, you know, the first scene with you and Belindia at the beginning of the Pendulum video, do you write the album first and then come up with a story, or are you able to write the album in character? Like, does the character?
Oh, no, the characters came way after. We're just fishing around, and then, you know, you see some photo online of like, oh, that's a cool hairdo, like hair wig. Fuck it, let me get Brooke on top of doing this beautiful, you know, handmade lace wig. And you go, well, that looks like this character. You know, so you start, it's chaotic, but it all kind of comes together. Matt, I always said, like, after Existential Reckoning, where the fuck are we going to go? And Matt goes, you're going to find it. You'll get it. Don't worry about it. And she was right. You know, just kind of found our way.
It's so fun to think of it through that, though, because when it arrives to us, as you've meant it to be, I mean, it's a complete piece. It's three-dimensional. It's all of these things. So this is a very relevant record, as we said. It's very poignant, rather. But I can also listen to it in this way through, you know, Belindia and eventually Fanny is what I'm guessing, too, and all of that. Like, it's a really cool way to kind of hear a record. It's more than hearing the record, obviously, and Whisper's always been that.
You got to have that balance, of, you know, the little tongue-in-cheek snarky shit to kind of go along with such, you know, it's kind of all the records are, there's quite a bit of serious subject matter on all the records. There's some tongue-in-cheek songs for sure, but even the ones that seem tongue-in-cheek, there's probably something in them that the tongue-in-cheek part was the distraction.
When we only got a couple minutes, Bad Wolf is great. 7-1
7-1
God, it's so different than everything too on it, but that's a great one too. Really nothing but compliments. But right before we get out of here, I just wanted to bring up, because I never get to ask you this, and one of my favorite things you've ever done is with Bowie when you did the redo of "Bring Me the Disco King."
Mm-hmm.
That's such a cool song. I've always wondered where that's how that happened.
But Danny Lohner is the linchpin in that producer, writer, engineer, former bass player from Nine Inch Nails. He was kind of the guy who got me in the door for Pussifer Tracks into the Underworld series. And so that was part of that. I think he was doing a remix and he was like, hey, do you want to do a backing vocal on this thing? So yeah, there's quite a few incidents where Danny was the guy who kind of was doing those things.
So was the, because I know that song had already existed a little bit before. So did you just go, like, you weren't in the studio together? That's what I'm hearing.
No. Like that's the new world order. That's been the new world order for a while.
Well, sure.
For being able to, because you know the expense, early days of Pussifer, we couldn't have afforded to do the films and animation and the graphic novels that we're doing now. Like those paths have opened through technology. To be able to do your own film on this thing now. You know, short films, word processing, literally writing lyrics and stuff down, like grabbing voice memos on here for ideas. You couldn't have done that in 1995 when Pussifer really started and we were really leaning into the sketch comedy and animation and stuff back then. So, but you couldn't do it without a budget. Like literally any filming you did that required a craft services and, you know, everything. So there's the cameras themselves, like the renting a film camera or video camera back then was like, that's it. I couldn't even afford the fucking stand that it goes on.
You've come a long way, baby.
Well, just technology's come a long way. And so we're able to like express the ideas or where it's all at. So to be able to like do a vocal for that Bowie song remotely, you couldn't have really done that in 1985.
Both sounded so good together. I love listening to that. I revisit a lot. I play it on my show pretty occasionally. And this new record, Normal Isn't, Pussifer. Seriously, again, congrats on this one. And it's been fun talking about it. We're going to see you here in Louisville, April 21st at the Louisville Palace too. I should mention here at the end. So
great. Awesome. Please come to the show. It's going to be an incredible show.
I will be there. Yes, sir. Thank you so much again for the time. We'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And my thanks to Maynard. Normal Isn't is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button if you're not already. Again, you're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music and bonus interviews, lots of music and film news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from The Charlatans, Lifesavers, The Cranberries, Betty Carter, Led Zeppelin, Bruce Springsteen, Damian Jurado, Nico Case, Kim Gordon, Foo Fighters, The Intelligents, Snail Mail, Pixies, Nirvana, Flea with Tom York, and my interviews with Wayne Coyne of The Flaming Lips, Cat Power, Heather Graham, and Nick Mason from Pink Floyd. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Depends how boring I am.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.